All right, Sawadee Cup. So good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Very Nice Podcast. So with me today, I have adult performer Jaden Snow, who is also into holistic healing, and she is from Florida. So I'm going to turn it over to her to give more of an introduction.
Well, that was quick.
Brief introduction. So, you know, you're going to do better than I am at that. So I'm going to turn it over to you so you can tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we're just going to kind of go into questions.
All right. So I started my adult performing a little later in life, in my mid-30s. My actual background, I lived a pretty normal life. I'm a registered nurse. I have a bachelor's degree in social psychology, a master's degree in nursing education. I served in the Army. I did two rotations to Iraq, which eventually led me into wanting to work with psychiatric patients when I went into nursing. So with all that combined, plus as a child, in my child, I mean more like teenagers, like about 14, 15, I really started feeling like there is something more than just this material world. I wasn't raised in any kind of religious background at all. It like kind of like a blue collar working family. My parents were young, and, you know, they're always scrapping for the net, you know, they're always just barely making it. So mm-hmm. The whole philosophy of life and that spiritual can be taken away when you're just trying to survive. So around 14, 15, I really felt like something was missing. So I started reading books. One of the first books I read was The Celestian Prophecy. And then that kind of transpired into me studying and meeting other people. And I got certified as in Reiki 2, which is an energy healing from Japan. Which
what is that called again?
Reiki.
R-E-I-K-I. Okay.
So I'm certified in that in level 2. And that is that's a healing technique where it is, you can lay your hands on someone or you can really, you're like clearing their energy field. Mm-hmm. So as a child, so at young, I learned how to feel my energy balls, just like I have seen you do. You just had a recent post.
Yes.
Where you were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I learned that young. I remember as a teenager, I was teaching people to do that, kids to do that. At one point, I went to New York City when I was 19. I'll never forget this. And a bunch of actors, they're all going to school to be actors. And we all sat in a big circle. And I taught them how to send energy circle like this. And then I couldn't believe it myself, but we could feel energy circulating. And they were appalled because some of them were not believers at all. So with that, I've always really been into it, and I've studied that. Uh-huh. But I've gone on meandering paths through the way, like when I went into the military, that is not a place to study a higher spiritual self.
Well, and let me ask you on that too. Since you started your discovery at a very early age, you know, with the spiritual side and everything, how the military is completely opposite. So how did, like, what changed your trajectory, excuse me, this morning, to go in that direction instead of maybe staying on the path of, you know, the more spiritual path?
Well, actually, before I left for the military, I was 21. I remember telling my father, I'm going to finish my degree in psychology. I'm going to become a registered nurse and go into holistic healing. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, why would you go onto that meandering path? This doesn't make sense. I'm like, that's what I see what's going to happen. And I went to the military because I felt like my will was weak.
Okay.
Like there was some kind of inner strength that I was missing. Maybe it could be past life. Maybe mm-hmm. it could be just the way I was raised. But I felt like I needed to really increase my own self-power and to and that warrior side of yourself, where you know no matter what happens, you're going to make it through it. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of environment you're in, no matter what kind of physical harm it comes to, you're going to make it through it. And that is something I don't think that can be taught unless you're in the military or you're studying martial arts. Okay. So that is what, but due to taking that meandering path, it did get me off course. Mm-hmm. I continued to try to study it. But I think that due to going to Iraq a couple times and then the trauma of all that and drinking, a lot of people in the military can't drink. They drink a lot.
Oh, this I know. I have family members in the military, so I know very well about that.
I don't, from what I see, when you drink a lot, I mean, drinking sometimes okay, but when you drink every day, that hinders your growth because you tend to just repeat your old traumas. Mm-hmm. Over, they keep cycling and inside you over and over and over.
Well, it's kind of, the drinking becomes kind of the like how one may use meditation to calm and relax themselves and remove stress from their life. Drinking becomes that kind of that meditation, if you will, for people where, you know, the more they drink, the more they kind of aren't worried about the current stress. But when that wears off, it all comes piling right back on top of you. So.
And I've seen some, I've worked with alcoholics in the past. Actually, a past job I had, I worked beside, I was a clinical manager as a nurse, and I had an assistant. And I knew she was older, in her 60s, and she was an alcoholic. I knew she was never going to stop. But because I can see auras, not all the time, mm-hmm. and it has to be a certain lighting, certain background. But I noticed something was off about her energy field. It looked like it was going up way too high, like up to the ceiling, and there was almost like icicles, ice breaks in him. Okay, and I kept seeing this. So I decided to study it, and I had found some data saying where they took that, what's it called, Kirlin photography, where you can see the auras. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the specific term to it.
Yeah, it's something like that. And it was showing that that's what happens to it. It's like your energy doesn't stay contained within yourself. Mm-hmm. So almost goes shooting so far out that it can pick up things that it shouldn't be picking up because it's not protected. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why they used to call drinking alcohol spirits.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I did not know that. Yes. So
I studied all that just because I encountered this, and I've seen a lot of alcoholics in my life. For some reason, and I always see that they continue to repeat their past traumas and over, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. They never go to the next level. But back to that. So I got out of the military. I got out of the military. I had kids. I was very blessed to have the GI Bill, mm-hmm. and during my time in the military, I finished my bachelor's degree in social psychology.
Okay.
And then I got out and I realized I really couldn't do much with it, as far as you don't have a very broad scope as a psychologist. And at the time, the economy was about to crash, and the medical field seemed like a really good place to go. Uh-huh. Like the day I started RN school, the Dow went down to like 6,000. So I was a good choice on that side. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about the physical. I'd already had been studying the spiritual for a long time. Already, you know, then I'm now understanding the physical aspect of it.
Okay. How long were you in the military, by the way?
Only 4 years, and that was enough.
Okay.
Because I went in before 9/11, like just so I could get college paid for, and then right after that, 9/11 happened. Like I was shortly after 9/11 happened then.
Okay.
I was a Patriot missile operator, 14 Tango.
Oh, Patriot okay.
Missile. That was the only combat MOS a female could go into at that time.
Oh, really?
So naturally I chose that.
Oh, okay.
But you probably want to know how I got into the adult industry.
we're getting to that. So, it, you know, as part of your timeline here, we're getting to that. Yes. But
so I'm from Ohio. Uh-huh. I was lucky enough to get a contract with a hospital group that paid for half my school and paid for me to come to Florida.
Okay.
So that's how I got here. And when I got here, this is a different culture than what I was raised in the Midwest. The Midwest is much more conservative. Mm-hmm. It's cold and gray all the time.
I know, I'm from Wisconsin originally. So when I moved out here to Arizona, it was night and day different.
You know? Yes. And I live in Tampa. It's a very hedonistic culture. Uh-huh. And by hedonistic, you know what I'm saying? By like,
yep,
pleasure yourself culture. Yeah. Everyone's much more concerned about fitness, mm-hmm, and the way they look. And there's always so many parties, even for like in Ohio, after a certain age, there's not a big bunch of parties going on. Here, there's a big lifestyle community, swinger communities, offsets from those communities, like so many different. I'm about 10 miles away from 3 nudist colonies. So it's completely different.
So when you moved there from Ohio, like how much of a culture, I mean, how much of a shock was it to you to go from Ohio to like what's surrounding you now down there in Florida? I mean, was it like a total shock or was it?
My shock was that I left friends, even though I'd been in the military, I still went back to Ohio and I had friends you've had your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, since you went to school, you had that bond. Not having that bond was hard, meeting new people, mm-hmm, especially in Florida, which is such a transient culture where people are always coming and going.
Florida's known as like a retirement community, basically, isn't it? Where a lot of retirees go and stuff.
Tampa itself has more of a family.
Okay.
But yeah, there are definitely sectors that are very retirement, mm-hmm, oriented. I heard your dog. My dog.
Yeah, that's my dog.
I hear my dog. Okay. I went into my first assignment, I chose to do psychiatric, acute inpatient psychiatric. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that was the shock of the darkness that people can have. And so now I have no one from my hometown. I have my children, of course, you know, but uh-huh, I don't really know a lot of people. I know I have this, like, every day you're dealing with darkness. And it's a system that's broken. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. At the time, which was around 2010, opiates was a big deal then. So a lot of the people were really, like, multi-abusers, and most of it was opiates. People withdrawing from opiates and alcohol and whatever. So, and then trying to discern who are the ones that are just trying to, some of them are just trying to play off the system. Some people are truly depressed, but then they're being thrown in with these people that are psychotic drug addicts. It was very nervous. So, it was an acute system so that if someone gets, they call it Baker Act, like someone, they're a threat themselves or other people, then the police can take them into this unit. So there's also a lot of risk for them to be violent. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, finish and I'll jump in.
It's not a real place for healing to take place. Mm-hmm.
Do you find places like that with the people who are in charge of running those facilities, they don't know what to do with a lot of those cases, and to them it's just easier to kind of push them into whatever group or together, just it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, you know, here.
It was an acute place, so people don't stay long either.
Okay.
So if they're 3-day bankrupt up, they go home or they get put in home health, they're asked to go to outpatient, that might not do anything. But the people that really want healing would have to go into some kind of nice place. you know, like where you stayed for 6 weeks and you do, probably they'd have them in Sedona, like a total.
I think there's like one or two up there, I believe, that I'm aware of, just off the top of my head.
Some of them were legitimately had schizophrenia, bipolar.
Okay.
But then I saw that doctors would start diagnosing all of those people with those because that's what they get paid off of, because somebody being depressed isn't a payoff by the insurance companies. So you see what I'm saying? Now I'm like in this, like, I'm surrounded by people throwing negativity at me and this in a broken system.
And that the fact that you mentioned that, you know, doctors will prescribe or diagnose them as this, because they get paid for it. Whereas if they have this other thing going on with them, they won't diagnose it because they're not getting paid, which I think is just, that is just a screwed up
system. There's no payment for generalized anxiety disorder,
and this is just me, but I mean, when you're going into that environment, I would think that you genuinely want to help people. So you're going to diagnose them correctly so you can help them get on a better path. Not so much be concerned with whether your insurance or the insurance company is going to pay you or not. But I guess it's today's world. I mean,
I know, so it's sad. But also, I mean, on the flip note, I believe in the law of attraction and what you think is what you believe. So now you're being, these people that are coming in have a completely negative thought pattern all day long, and that's what's gotten them to that dark place. And that's not something that can be fixed in a couple of days.
No, that's long term, you know, because
reprogramming and reprogramming. I've had to do it for myself. Yes.
Yes, it's rewiring the mindset, and that is probably the hardest thing you can do, because when you've interjected something, you know, like if you are an alcoholic, you know, to step away from that is like one of the hardest things you can do mentally, because your mind just wants to drag you back to that. It's like it's.
And physically, the physical withdrawals are very bad from what I've seen as well. But yes, so like I experienced myself from being in the military, all the negative things that every day waking up, like, I hate this shit, I don't want to be here, what am I doing here? That after many years of you doing yourself, that's written in you.
Instead of
working up every day being like, I love life, I'm so grateful for this, I'm so grateful for that, it's hard to even get up to that next level. So
like with the military, when you're in there, because I haven't served, so I, you know, but being around, especially in a combat environment, daily, you know, depending on how long you're on your tour and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of PT, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome that people have when they come back. Did you have anything like that when you came back from just being around, you know, in a combat situation for as long? Because I mean, it's.
Yeah, yes, a little bit, but actually the worst part was when I got out. It got worse because it's like I wasn't in that environment anymore.
So it's like you.
And I now processing everything that I did not process for those 4 years.
Okay. And that's interesting because it's kind of like the way I view it is like when a lot of people, I mean, you can join the service, military, go through boot camp and stuff. But to me, you know, being in a live combat situation totally changes the scope of everything. Right. So it's like you're getting plucked out of your kind of somewhat everyday normal life, if you will, going into this chaotic situation where your friends are, you know, that you make are dying around you and everything like that. And then when you get out of there, it's, you've been so wired into that world now to go back into the white picket fence, quote unquote,
right,
world.
And you're in that fight or flight mechanism, and you built so much camaraderie with the people that you served with that it's hard for people to understand that. And I'm granted, I was a Patriot missile operator, so I'm not shooting people. You know, I'm not. They are those people I feel even worse for, that are watching people getting blown up in front of them. And I've heard so many stories. I think it got worse for me when I went into nursing, because I've seen so many people die, especially. So once I left psych, I'm like, that 6 months and I was done. I'm like, I'm going to go to med surg so I can learn more about the medical aspect. And then that's when you really, that see death, 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 death. People dying all the time. So that kind of brought back that PTSD of watching death.
If you would have gone, and this is like a hypothetical question, I'm just curious about. So if you would have gone into the medical profession when you were in the military and you were like a frontline doctor or nurse or, you know, how do you think that would have, would your experience of you coming out of that would have been a lot rougher than what you, I mean, just because you're now dealing with people coming in with, you know, life-threatening injuries and everything else?
I think it would have been easier because you're still not at the front line dealing with your dives on the line every day.
Uh-huh.
I recently talked to an MD who served in a couple of rotations in Iraq as a surgeon. He was a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And he said that he sees more in D.C. He was in Chicago and D.C. and saw more gunshot wounds every day than he would saw in like an entire rotation.
Really?
Yes, in Chicago and in D.C. Yes. He said that was nothing in comparison to.
That is crazy. You wouldn't think that, but I know Chicago's a mess right now, but I mean, you wouldn't think that.
That's what he's telling me, how many, but yeah. So where to now? So to how I got it.
So yeah, since
all this bottled up energy going, all this fire and ice, fury and ice going on in me, I ended up going to a club called Eyes Wide Shut. It's in Tampa.
Okay.
It's a legitimate sex club.
Mm-hmm.
Like one side is it's a membership, so that's how they get away with that. You're a member. Mm-hmm. You're signing the membership. One side's like a bar where people mingle. Then you go out to the other side, and then it's like a building full of like private rooms, big rooms, all different kinds of crazy leather couches and beds and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Where people either, usually they are with people they're, you know, doing stuff with.
Uh-huh.
And it was on New Year's Eve. And I had to get so drunk to do it. I was so nervous. I was shaking. But so the guy I was with, how explicit can I talk? I won't.
You know, I mean,
yeah, I won't.
Just be you and, you know, we'll go from there. So, I mean.
So I was on a like big leather bed. And if you can imagine, like in front of me is a mirror, out of sight of me is a mirror. And on top of him, naked riding, right?
Yeah.
And I look up and I see all these people watching me.
Uh-huh.
And I was so enthralled by it. I was like, yes, this is so much fun. This is awesome. So
that was your first like foray into
like that. Yes. But yes. I was a dancer, not a stripper, but a dancer as a child, all the way up, a cheerleader. And all that stuff. So like performing is like, you know, I like, doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
To talk in front of people, it doesn't bother me to perform. So is that, I guess that's my fetish.
Okay.
My fetish is to perform and to be watched.
Okay. So, but prior to this first journey into the club, so before you even like experience that, did you know about this world beforehand? Or that world beforehand, or not really?
Not really. I had been, I was with someone that wanted to train me to be a fighter.
It isn't like an MMA fighter, or?
But yes, a boxer fighter. I was like, do you know what? I was trying to do it, and I'm like, do you know what? I was born more to have sex. Like I'm like more like a porn girl. The lights went off for both of us, and then like we opened Twitter up, we opened all this stuff up to like start it. And at that time, I just like I do like little things like masturbation videos or sexy striptease stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it got started. And I've shut Jane Slow down 2 times. It'd probably be a lot. I'd have a lot more followers if I didn't shut myself down 2 times. But Until I finally decided to own it. So, and I've gained a lot of strength from that and from owning my sexuality and what I like to do. And having people stand against that and me like, no, this is what I'm not doing. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything to harm anybody. Everybody that's involved is consensual, and I'm having fun for the first time in my life.
So
I work really, really hard. I like grinded and grinded and grinded, and now I can have fun. So it started off as a fun outlet.
So it's just, it wasn't a business, like you didn't create your own, it wasn't a business for you at that point, or partly a business. It was just, it was fun.
Maybe someday it will be a business. Maybe we'll make money off it. And now it's, then it was like more like, no, this is my fun outlet, which you can lead you down interesting, you would meet very interesting people.
I can imagine.
So yes. And then it became more of a business. The more I learned, the more I started like meeting people with bigger names that ran it like a business. Mm-hmm. So I learned all the different avenues, because there's so many avenues within the adult industry to make money.
So like, how long was it, like from your club, your first club experience to like building your brand, I guess? How long was the... 7 years. Okay.
7 years. That's why, right? If you Google my name, that's why it will go for Google. You can see scroll, because I've been out there so long. I, as far as like, I think I have every email possible for Jaden Snow, like all these .com, just like, so that's, it's, I have a long history.
Okay.
In it, but not in the mainstream. This has always been on my independent, my own will. And I've had the opportunity to shot with people with big names, but it's always been on my own.
Okay. More and control that way.
Through that.
More control that way with your brand and how you want to evolve.
Right. And if I want to take it all down one day, it's gone.
Well, is that true?
It's gone ish, because I have done trade content with people who will own it too.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, you know, I mean, I think sometimes people can successfully disappear from that world, you know, and there's not a trace of them left. Really, you can't find anything. But I think sometimes it's kind of like you still have these lingering little things every now and then that people can kind of, if you search enough, it's.
I'm at a little different point than a lot of these girls that get into it young. And then they need to hide it later, because what if they become a teacher, or their husband doesn't like it, or whatever it might be, but because I did it later, I don't care.
So
if people know, they know. Like, I'm not going to try to hide it.
Yeah. So do you find that when people find out what you do, is there a lot of judgment still that you deal with from that end, from some people?
From women, yes.
From women?
Yes.
What do you usually find is like the, you know, I guess, what issues do they usually take with you?
I don't have a lot of friends that are girls. I did when I was older friends. I don't know. Maybe it's, what do you mean? What issues?
I think they
get insecure with themselves. And they see somebody like me who's owning it. And then that kind of makes them feel bad about themselves. It may be a physical. I don't think I'm a beautiful person, but I stay in shape and I try to maintain myself. I try to always present myself well. And I'm educated. So I think that is really what pushes most women away.
Well, I think with a lot of people too nowadays, I'm just going to group everybody into this. We don't spend enough time talking to each other to get to know somebody. And, you know, because we're judging what we see based on the surface a lot nowadays.
I know.
You look at what's going on around us and stuff like that, people back and forth, you know, oh, you support this person, you support that person, or you're doing that. Just stop, listen, and acknowledge. You know, you don't have to agree with everybody, you know, because everybody else's life is not yours. If somebody's happy, be happy for them. But I think it's just, you know, when people see something, that somebody's doing something and they think in their mind, oh, that's just wrong or that's whatever, they automatically form a judgment. You could be the nicest person in the world, but they won't give you a chance beyond what they see. And I think that's just wrong in general.
Right. I know. And that's why I think, I'm sorry, I'm pushing my dog. Say hi, Sky.
Sorry. Oh, beautiful dog.
I think that's why I feel like I want to try to be a pillar of the community to try to cross that bridge, because of my past and my education and history, people are more likely to listen to what I have to say and to understand that bridge. So that's why I've been doing interviews like this and being very honest about myself and my past, so that people can see that just because you do porn doesn't mean that you're a drug addict or that was your last option in life, or you got suckered in by a pimp or something.
Yeah. Well, I think any kind of profession or anything that you want to go into, you're always going to have the good and bad with it. You're going to have people that are, you know, I mean, I think the adult industry just in general has a kind of a badder rep, just because of anything negative that's happened in that world usually gets like brought to the surface more. That's like,
don't get me wrong. There's a lot of negativity. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of men that do pull the wool over these young girls' eyes and take control of everything. And then at the end, they don't own anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't own their Instagram. They didn't own their OnlyFans. They didn't own their .com. They have nothing at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So my dog keeps looking at me. Oh my goodness. Wait, let me step. I'm gonna let my dog in. So she's,
yeah, go ahead. Second.
Okay, I'm all so right. Sorry.
No worries.
Me the whole dog.
No worries.
So right now I'm like, Ash, if you look at anything on my media, you don't see that deeper aspect of myself and where I plan to take it, which is I do plan to help educate people on how to use sex as a healing technique, how to open up through sexuality, and there are different types of meditations you can do to get your sexual kundalini to rise. Yeah. There's a lot to learn, and not only learning spiritually, but also actual physical techniques. Mm-hmm. You know. that women should know and men should know. So, I mean, so I want to eventually integrate that together, but I've had to build myself just as the porn person first and get myself out there in that market.
Do you think if you did both simultaneously, that would get, would that be a little bit difficult to get to where you want, because you're maybe people might be confused between the two? Or
I do private sessions with people, so when I do private sessions I'm able to connect with people on a deeper level and assess what their needs really are and how to help unblock whatever they need unblocked or whatever is missing in their life that brought them to me. I know that a lot of I can only imagine if I was a Christian church wife thinking about my husband going to get an escort, how devastated I would be. I understand that. But there's usually something missing that, and not only get it out through the sex, it's really through the talking and somebody that's open up to listen to them and how they, and their sexual secrets and their sexual fantasies that they feel that have been hidden and they have to hide because they'll be shamed for it. I always believe people that come to me for those kind of sessions are in need of something that I can help them with. Mm-hmm. And I have had a lot of people tell me deep things that they would never tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
on sexually or otherwise, but it helped it, but that helped them. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that people that the guys that will open up to you and say if they're married or whatever, they won't open up to their wives or girlfriends or whatnot. Are from your viewpoint, from what you get from feedback, are they in broken relationships that they just shouldn't be in? Or is it just more, maybe it's something that might work out between the two of them, but yet it's such a taboo subject sometimes that they might not feel comfortable discussing that together?
That's one thing. Another thing is, and let me first say that I'm all about keeping families together. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not the person that goes out there trying to tell people, I say stay with your family. Mm-hmm. Like, do your self-searching and stay with your family. But I think that I've always had a belief, and I've had this belief since I was pretty young, that it's really hard to grow when you're in a typical married relationship as what's been established in the United States, mm-hmm. where you're only supposed to go out with that person. You're not really supposed to talk to the opposite sex. You're not really even looking flirt. Like, so you're missing out on opportunities of your own growth and learning. And I'm taking sexuality away completely. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, just to go out and have, oh my God, I had this great conversation with this guy. We were talking about Guy Gong and blah, blah, blah. And then I've had a boyfriend. They'd be like, what? Are you about them? You know, This is a typical relationship. If their energy is turned to anyone else, everybody gets jealous. But that's the kind of culture we have established.
Well, I think for the most part, whoever you're with, that other person, everybody needs to be secure with themselves to begin with.
Yeah.
You're secure and confident in yourself. If, you know, your husband or wife or girlfriend is out with their friends and they strike up a conversation, doesn't mean that there's anything else going on behind it. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm trying to meet somebody else just for a one night fling or anything like that. It's a conversation, you know, and, you know, the way I look at it is this for myself, because I've been drugged through the mud before in the past and stuff, but I'm just like, I tell people, it's like, look, you know, just be honest with me, be straightforward. You know, if I can work with the honesty, I can't work with anything that's, you know, outside of that realm, because it's just disrespectful. So if you go out and let's just say, so, you know, if I'm dating somebody and they end up, you know, hooking up with somebody that they met at a bar or whatever, be honest with me, tell me, and then, you know, we'll probably part ways after that, most likely. But, you know, it's just, I'd rather have somebody be honest with me than, you know, be afraid to tell me something. If that makes any sense.
Really? You would still part ways if they were honest?
You know, it's...
Because then you have to look at, well, what's missing? Why did you do that? I mean, although alcohol... Yeah.
Can really
change someone's normal decision making. I will be the first to say that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I've been around, you know, with alcohol involved, that's the one excuse I don't really accept, because if I think back, like, to, and this is just from my end and stuff, like when I've been younger and everything. I mean, I've been, you know, when I used to go to the bars a lot in my 20s and stuff, yeah, I've been inebriated. I've been like all past where I should be, but I'm still, even though your inhibitions are, you know, I mean, things are just, you're a lot more relaxed, you're a lot more open.
So you're still acting on your own needs and not, yeah.
But you're still aware of what you're doing. So, you know, it's, unless you're completely blacked out and you don't remember a thing, I mean, you're still alert, you still know what you're doing. And I think alcohol at times is mostly an excuse that people like to throw in there. Well, I was drinking, I was dry, I didn't, you know, come on, you know. So, I mean, it can vary for people, but that's just from my.
I think that it makes you, whatever is right there in front of you is, mm-hmm. that's all that you see. It's mm-hmm. like that tunnel vision. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, alcohol can do that.
Yeah. But I think if you're happy with somebody and you're, you know, if you're secure and you've been together, you have a great communication base and everything together and the energy is great between you guys, you know, back to your question, you know, would you really leave somebody if they did that and stuff? You know, again, you could sit here and say yes right now, but I don't have that person. Yeah, I don't have that person in front of me. So I couldn't say, you know, I mean, it just depends on that. It really depends on the person and what you've kind of formed together, and what you know, it might be if it's something happens once, yeah, you might forgive them and everything else and be able to move on because you realize, okay, this is what caused and so forth through conversation. But if it was something that was happening, like, you know,
Right.
repeatedly, then it's kind of like,
Well,
okay.
there must be something missing within that relationship that they're seeking that, you know, that
External.
loss that every new relationship has that usually fades.
Yeah, it's
Like,
like the honeymoon phase,
everyone
like,
still wants to go seek that, like,
yeah.
oh my God, it feels so good. Yeah. Without that, those blocks that you create within a relationship, you know, I'm at, I'm sure you've been in relationships. You get mad at each other for something and this and that, and then the earth snowball effect, and then there's this big block. Yeah, I mean, that's why I always thought that it's harder. It's people aren't really meant to be in that kind of tight type of relationship forever. I think that there is a generation that was all about it, and I think that we're at the cusp of that changing, where it's
Yeah,
not so much. And
well, I think that generation was back to our parents and in our parents' parents' era. They're
yeah,
kind
the
of
world
right
was
in there.
new. They were all about that one love.
I mean, that's why you see a lot of it's like they were married for 70 years, 80, you know, whatever and stuff. I mean,
Yes.
it's just boom. Whereas now it's like relationships, you're lucky if it makes it a 5-year mark.
I know. I know. I know. But yes.
But I think with people, you know, you just have to find that, you know how you are. And I think if you want to be with somebody and stuff, you have to find somebody that is complementary to how you are and you both understand each other. You know, I think that's the way that works because I think a lot of people sometimes, especially nowadays, you know, you have the people that just want to play the field left and right, you know, and they end up meeting the people that want something serious and that's kind of doesn't work. And my train of thought just went out my mind right now where I was going with it.
I guess I don't know when, but when you have that freedom, you do meet and encounter a lot of different things that you never would encounter just being in a normal
Very
relationship
true.
and having to be tied to that person.
Very true. You know, I've been single for, oh good Lord. This has been, well, let's see, 12 plus 4. So 5 years now, I
Oh
think,
yeah! Wow.
thereabouts.
So now you're, oh yeah, you're now you're like, whoa, okay, yes, I need, yeah, I get where you're at now.
So
Yeah, I
it's,
get, yes, I get it.
Yeah, I use my dog Tova
Yeah.
Cooper on that one.
And that stability is good too, to have that one person, especially as we age, to have that one person to grow old with.
Yeah, I mean, it's I see, I'm kind of like on the reverse side of that for me a little bit. Because like in my 20s, I was probably so a little backstory, I never dated anybody in middle school or high school. I was too shy of a kid growing up. I couldn't ask anybody out or anything like that. So I didn't start dating until I was 18. And then that's just when like I had more freedom away from the parents, and not that anything happened bad there, but it was just I was able to discover myself more, who I was, instead of being kind of controlled. You know, you have to, you know, dress a certain way, you have to have your room looking a certain way, and everything else. So when I turned 18, it was like the floodgates opened on that and dating, and it was just kind of like, you know, in my through my mid-20s, I wasn't really serious about like finding somebody. It was just like having fun, enjoying life with my friends and everything else.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
And then
good. You got it
after,
fulfilled. Yeah.
yeah. And then after that, okay, you know, I start being still living in Wisconsin at that time. You know, your mind starts to go, you know, through the formula for the I can't talk today. The by the numbers formula as far as finding somebody, you know, and stuff. And you know, you meet somebody, you get married, you have kids, you have the house with the white picket fence, you have the job and all that kind of cookie cutter stuff. It never really stuck with me though, because I never really found anybody or met anybody that I could see myself going
Aren't
down
you
that
like,
road with.
you're a life path nine, right? Is that
I'm
what we
what?
said? Life path number nine, right? Didn't we do the life path number?
No, I don't think we did.
I thought we did when we spoke.
Our initial conversation? No, I don't recall the life path number in there, I don't think.
All right. We'll do that after the interview.
Okay. yeah, so it wasn't really until, I mean, it just kind of never, that never came up for me. And then when I moved out here to Arizona back in 2006, I think I was like 32 at the time. And it was a whole new world. You know, I thought dating was going to be, you know, yeah, I'll meet somebody and this and that. And it was just like overload of, it's just a whole new thing. And dating was different out here because.
Oh, dating's different now. It's all, everything's online and it's crazy.
It is. That's, you know.
Swipe left, swipe right. What the heck?
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. Right now, the way I look at it is, you know, I have so much going on around me and stuff, just with the business stuff and everything. So my focus is kind of like dialed into certain things. And the way I look at it is, if I meet somebody, I meet somebody. If I don't, I don't. My life still moves forward. I'm still happy. You know,
good, because that means you feel like you're a whole person.
Yeah.
It's bad when you don't, when you feel like you're not whole and you need someone in order to fulfill something that's missing within you.
And that's the thing is, like, when people feel like that, from what I've, it's just, they're reaching out and whoever comes across their path, it's probably not the ideal person for them, but they will latch on to them. Because they're, you know, it's like mentally, it's like, well, I'm getting older. I just need somebody, or I want to have kids. So this person will do, you know, type of thing. And yeah, so I'm at that point now where it's kind of like, yeah, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Life still goes on. I'm still happy with what I'm doing, you know, and everything like that. And plus my dog, who's female, is happier that she doesn't have to share female energy most of the time. But
I have a female pit bull and she's very protective when it comes to other females coming around. She doesn't like it.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, that's
kids love kids. She's every kid loves her, but if it's another female, she must be like feeding off my energy. She's like, oh, for you.
See, Tope doesn't get aggressive or anything like that, but she'll, you can see her demeanor. I've been around her long enough, so you kind of know when she's getting jealous and when she kind of gets, you know, she throws little fits when she gets, like, the attention's not on her and stuff. And you can see it about the way she fluffs her bed or does whatever, or gives me the, I mean, there's once in a while she does give me the cold shoulder.
As in all females.
Yes. You know, so, but yeah, I mean, that's just where life is for me right now with everything. And, you know.
So for me, I'm kind of at a transition. About 4 months ago, I stopped nursing. I sell my nurse active nursing license. I just haven't been had to work as a nurse.
Okay.
And to be honest, I prefer not to go back to the field. So I've been using my brand as my current catalyst of making money, which is doing well. I actually have a lot more times with my kids. I wake up in the morning, I feel thankful. Like, I feel like free for the first time in I don't even know how long, maybe my whole life, like free to design my own day, design my own world. Like, all of that literature I wrote about designing your own world, I can now do it. Then, but I'm using this more as a catalyst also to do the move Jaden Snow into education and spiritual aspect. But I'm also working on my real estate course to be a real estate sales
associate. Yeah, you did mention that the last.
Yes, I'm 94% of the way done, which
pretty congratulations.
My goal is this week to do it, to finish it, so I can take the test. But so that, I was going to use that as my other catalyst, because that's also helping people, and you're helping them find the right house.
Yes.
And that's all energy work too. Like, you're drawing them to the right energetic place. So it kind of all like flows together. So I'm using my current brand to kind of help transition into that plateau. I'm going to continue to keep the brand, but not as my main source of income, but so I can take it to that higher level.
Okay.
So that's where I was actually, I had an interview like a month ago where I had said, her name is called Kelly Lip Gloss Mike, and she does King and Queen of Porns. Awesome girl. I was telling her I was going to go shoot for the big labels, like the Bang Bros and the Brazzers. And after doing a lot of research and meeting some of the porn girls that have these huge followings, 2.5 million, a million followers, and this and that, and I'm like, I don't think I want to put that much energy into that. Like, when I can, at the end, it's just not where I want it to end up. That just really is fame. Like, I don't think it's monetizing as much as they, everyone acts like it is. It's monetizing for Brazzers. It's monetizing for Bang Bros.
Well, yeah.
And there's no higher purpose to it.
There's, what you're saying, basically, there's no end.
Which I don't want, I'm not judging them, because they're doing, they're owning it and they're loving what they do. That's awesome. But for the kind of person I am, I always want it to have some level where I'm helping people too.
Yeah, you're basically, you're building, so what I use with my business is like building a house. You know, you have your foundation, your walls, and your roof. So basically, you're building everything. Jaden Snow, more or less, is your foundation at this point.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes. And it's always going to be my fun outlet. I can always use it as my fun, naughty outlet too, because that is a part of me.
So within the industry, like you were touching on, like where people think it's, there's more, you know, when somebody has like 2 million, 3 million followers and everything. And it's literally at that point, it's run a business. Now, I know with like social media, you know, the amount of followers, when you see somebody have that, it, it really doesn't translate fully into business numbers. I mean, that's, it's a very small percentage of that. Because I found that out.
Yes. And then I found sites, because I've actually had time, even though I'm doing this a long time, I really have had the time now to research what's going on here. And you can buy an entire Instagram site with a million followers.
Yeah, which is, you know, I've been bombarded in my DMs.
You're right. Genre, then it can monetize, but that still doesn't monetize into money.
Correct. And yeah, because I've been bombarded in my DMs on Instagram from people that are like, well, we love your business and this and that. And, you know, you need to have more followers, you know, like people in your genre do or classification. So buy, buy, buy. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit there and buy followers that just boost my numbers, because in all honesty, I want people that genuinely invest in me, that enjoy following me and learning things from me. So, I mean, I only have like just under 1600 followers. I don't care. You know,
if it's genuine, but those are real people.
Oh, correct. You know, yeah. And honestly, I look at my statistics every day. I look at who follows through the stories and stuff like that, who likes the things, just to keep track of it mentally. And it's a lot of the same people that come through. I get some new ones every once in a while, but I have a dedicated base that enjoys apparently what I do, you know, and that's what means the most to me. You know,
because I've been doing it for a while. I do as well.
Yeah. I don't mind, you know, I mean, if 10,000 people want to follow me and they're all invested in me, that's great. But I know realistically it's a numbers game, because a lot of people are following you just to hope you follow them back to boost their own numbers. They don't, they're not really investing. It's a whole game. The social media thing. I have a love hate with it some days, but
I mean, know. So do I.
Yeah. But so there's a lot of amazing people that I would never have met if it wasn't for social media. So, I mean, I can't totally discount social media because it has opened up a lot more doors to, you know.
But at least you don't get dick pics on your Twitter account.
No, actually, I have not had that. But now that you mention that, I don't know, somebody might send me one just for shits and grins. But
no, I just, on Twitter, I don't even accept DMs anymore unless I'm following them.
Okay.
So I don't have to deal with almost like people feel they can harass you in a way, sometimes it's not even theirs, they just want to get off on it. It's like there's some interesting facades of it where people take that to that lower dirty level.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about that is like, and I, since you brought the dick pic thing up and stuff, I don't know when or where that started, but I want to meet the guy that had success with it one time, because apparently that's all it took. Somebody, because it's like, I don't get what the lore is of sending, if you are trying to impress somebody, I'm old school. So it's like your personality, how you are and all this stuff. To send a picture of your anatomy to somebody and they're supposed to like immediately fall in love with you, I don't get that. So
I think some guys have that a misconception that it's about size and they don't realize it's about energy. I can honestly say that I have had sex with men that had huge, like 12.
Yeah.
And it was just no energy exchange, just block. It was just mechanical. And if I've had sex with someone with a small and the energy was so much, I could still feel it flowing through me and orgasming. So guys really get hung up on this. I deal with this all the time. Like especially some of my private session, people will be like, well, my dick's not as big as these people. I'm like, that's for show. That's what it has to, you know, for show. It has to look like it so you can get certain angles, and that's what people want to see. It has nothing to do with the energy exchange.
So do you feel that people that so from within the adult industry, do you think that causes a lot of problems for men in general because of the self-esteem, maybe because they're so anything on film is always going to look different. It's shot differently. It's a production, just like a normal movie. It's a production, you know, and, but do you think that does a lot to the male psyche? You know?
Yes. When it comes to size and interracial, for some reason too, bothers people. And maybe it's because in interracial, they're more known for the size thing. But I've done it because it looks like the contrast is really interesting artistically. You can really, I do like to see penetration. That does get me off. I mean, I don't want to be up and close on it and see every hair follicle, but I mean, that is hot. But it's when you see the contrast, that's kind of neat. And I always do things that people think are taboo. So of course I had to do it.
Yeah.
So that and size has does mess with guys a lot. But it I can tell you hands down, it's the energy that's built between people.
Oh yeah.
I mean, as you're going into it and why you're into it. Well, more than the size of it.
Well, correct. And I will agree with you on the energy, you know, because not to have, if you don't have a connection or that energy with somebody at the end of the time, at the end, when you're done, it's just nothing more than a release.
I should have had a dildo. I should have just got my dildo out that day, you know?
There you go. Yeah. It's just a release for yourself. That's all it is. And then you kind of feel maybe a little bit, it depends on the individual, but you might just feel kind of like, I wish I wouldn't have done that type of thing because that energy wasn't there. Whereas if you have a real deep connection with somebody, it just becomes a more pleasurable experience, you know, that exchange.
Yes. But I've learned to do it in any situation. That has become a specialty, to enjoy it, an orgasm.
So any situation, whether you have a connection with somebody or not?
With it, yes. But I'm good at forming it, though, quickly.
Forming it
and
for you.
And what they need to do to make sure they're comfortable to get it there. So there's certain things that you do as a woman and say, and there is certain, you know, when you're talking to me, you're trying to understand what they are lacking in order to get there. So I've learned that art, and I can enjoy myself.
But is it, would you say though, that's not a true, genuine connection though, that you're forming?
Genuine connection.
I'm trying to kind of read between the lines here and stuff. So you're creating
now we're going deep because it's philosophical, because what's a true, genuine connection?
Well, down the rabbit hole we go.
Right? It's like two energies come together, they merge, build a little energy, they go their separate ways. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
So it's what do you define as a true connection?
A true, genuine connection, I think you just...
I think that's built on your on time and service. Like a true genuine connection, being with somebody for a while, that trust. that love.
Well, I think a true connection.
You know, die together.
Yeah, but I think you can have that on a shorter window too. I think there's a connection there to sometimes where, you know, like you said, you come together, you merge energy, and then you go your separate ways. But I think sometimes there's that lingering energy where you're just, that person's on your mind or whatever. And there's that connection there. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're meant for each other long-term or anything, but
that, because your energy impresses in each other. Mm-hmm. So you get the energy impression of that person.
Yeah.
So you have to learn, like, what I do, different exercises to make sure that it goes through me and it doesn't stay in me, especially if somebody has anything negative. I've learned how to push it through me as a channel. Just like I learned this because of studying Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I'm doing Reiki healing on someone, I'm a channel. I'm bringing energy through me and putting to that person. Mm-hmm. Now, the moment I stop doing that, I'm actually soaking up their energy.
Mm-hmm. But so you also
transfer that into sex. I'm sure a million people will argue with me about it, but this is what I have learned.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned with the energy through you and you retain it, you do clear yourself though.
Yes.
Like, okay. After. Yeah.
Yes. Always. Mm-hmm. Always.
Okay. So.
Yes. I've learned how to do that, and I learned how to do it during it.
Okay.
So, because when a man is inside of you, they're feeling you and they're pushing, as a female, their energy through you. Mm-hmm. So if you keep it, you're going to feel it all. But if you focus it out of you, you're not. A little bit's going to linger. So I do certain like grounding meditations and stones and things of that nature in order to make sure that nothing negative resonates with it.
Okay. No, that makes total sense. Yeah. I mean,
I'm a Virgo. Life path eight. The way I think is compartmental. I can cut the cord and it's gone. Nothing lingers. But that is kind of how I'm designed though.
That's how you've always kind of like been?
Yes. And because I found that if you do that to people, especially studying healing, you're kind of drawing them back into you. You don't want to do that. You want to cut the cord.
Gotcha.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I kind of get what you're saying there.
Not that you don't think of, not that you don't think, can't think something positive and say that some part of that person, but you, but it's gone. I don't go into detail. I don't think about the detail, what happened or anything. Like, all I do is I take that experience and I give it a good energy and I close it.
Okay.
I don't know, people don't understand how I do it either, but. Especially men. Men act, look at me like I'm crazy. Like, no, women don't do that. I'm like, I guess, yes. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. You're right about what you're saying as far as there are certain energies that do resonate better together. That's going to be a more elevated experience. Because those energies are on a similar frequency, I guess, or a similar path.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a better connection. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong by saying that. I was just saying my experience is what I have to do in order to get that connection.
Oh, it's, you know, everybody's going to have like different views, different, you know, experiences with this and stuff. And that's the whole thing and stuff. And that's why it's like talking to you, getting your side, your view on things. It's going to be a little bit different than mine. You know, one isn't wrong. One isn't, you know, it's just, you have a whole different experience with, you know, this world, you know, from your perspective. Than I am going to have from like my perspective. And I think that's a unique thing when you can, again, to people listening, this is what we need to do nowadays. You need to sit down, talk to people and understand, you know, their point of view, where they're coming from, you know, because it forms a better picture, not only in understanding the person in front of you, but also for yourself too. It's knowledge that you're taking in to grow.
Right, right. Because I think sometimes people, a lot of times people hate people because it's something they see within themselves that they blocked or that they hate, you know? So,
yeah, there's a lot of, other people getting jealous with other people just because of.
That's a big issue. Yeah. That's a big issue in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I haven't been there. I have been there.
Yeah, well, we're all human. Everybody goes through it, you know, and stuff. And I don't think it's anything that you ever really escape. It's just something you learn to how to deal with it when it comes up and move past it, you know.
You have to experience it first, and it's hard to experience. Because I've experienced that in a lifestyle, so that's why I bring it up. Yes, it's hard. It creates your, that's where that strength of I am who I am, and I'm my own light being, and I stand strong no matter what.
So let me ask you this. So, you know, with the holistic healing side that you have and the deeply spiritual side, within the industry, have you the adult industry, are there, have you met others that are like on that same pathway as you or had that same, no?
Not yet. I'm hoping this, by coming out and having interviews like this, that other women will approach me.
Do you think that some of them might, I mean, have you got a sense that some of them might be kind of like dipping their toes in the water in that direction, but just they're not bringing it out because it's maybe opposite of their brand, or they're kind of maybe just don't want people to really truly get to know them personally, maybe?
Maybe, or they're not like me, not ready to go out with that and talk about they're just focusing on the brand. But
So where
so
you're
wait,
at?
I want to show you something. I'm showing you.
Oh yeah.
This is a jet stone. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
I use this a lot. It's for empaths. So it helps you not absorb other people when you're dealing with people. You're able to sit and empathize with them, and then it goes through you.
Okay.
So this is one of the things. The
So
first time I picked this up a couple weeks ago, I had out of nowhere, I had nothing to be sad about. I was in a state of just sadness for about 3 days. And it was everywhere. Like my aura was so big and just sad. And I came to understand it is a lot of my anger had over the years have been masked by just being a sensitive person. And so I changed that over to anger. So, and then I didn't realize I just picked up this stone for empaths. Then I read more deeper into this stone, which said that that's what it does. It clears like your aura and your outer aura of any kind of a sadness that's been lingering too long.
Okay.
So that.
So is this your first for like 'cause you're into crystals, using crystals, are you? Okay. Have you used stones before this or has this been the first?
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
I have many times, yes, many times in my life, but I've gotten, now that again, I'm not working a clinical manager job that's taking up 70 hours of my week, I can actually do these kind of things. Yes, so.
Okay.
And like this one is fluorite. Can you
Oh,
see
okay.
it?
Yeah, I can. Yep, I
Yeah.
can see it.
It's supposed to cloak your energy signature from psychic attacks, ill will, negativity being thrown at
Okay.
you.
So
So.
you. And I could go down the rabbit hole for hours with you on all this stuff and everything. So, the stones, the crystal, is this all stuff that you plan on bringing into like when you get to that next level that you want to, you know, with the therapy?
Yes,
Okay.
yes, yes, it is. Yes, I'm feeling my way through it, I guess you could say. If I feel like if I make too much of a plan, then it's not going to happen. So I'm kind of feeling it as I go.
Okay.
When to make the next move with this.
So you don't really have like
And I know
a.
the right, I have to find the right people and network to do this with because the people in the porn world, and I'm sorry if you are out there and you are what like me, please let me know, but they're not on that same kind of path. So, and then I've seen tantra teachers, I've seen these kind of teachers and these kind of teachers, but they weren't in the porn world ever either. So it'll be an interesting integration. And I'm looking more just to educate and help liberate people than for money or fame off of it, to be honest.
So you don't have really, so right now, like you said, you're just feeling it as you go along. So there's not really a set time frame for you to kind of like make this full, like to complete this full transition, if you will, so to speak, I guess. Like 5 years down the road is where you want
I
to.
think five, at least, like, yes, I should be done by five
Okay.
at the completion of it. Yes.
Well, that's not too
Yes.
far off with the way that everything's moving now. You 5 years will
No.
be here in no time. But
Yeah.
so do you see yourself like setting up like is there more of a like when you get to that point 5 years down the road, do you see yourself in a different venue, so to speak, like different area, maybe somewhere in Florida or someplace else that's a little bit more that might kind of work a little bit stronger for you
I
once
don't
you get
know.
that phase?
I don't know. My kids are here, so that's going to be hard to leave.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but you were mentioning though too the other day that there you have like, because we have vortexes here in Sedona and stuff. And you were mentioning about one kind of in the area that you're in, if
Yeah,
I remember.
yes. I had thought there was one because of having interesting experiences. And I happen to meet someone who have had lives in the same area and has had similar experiences and says he thinks there are too. But I don't know where to research this to confirm it.
Probably, well, I would just say Google and then just sort through all the fun stuff. You know, that's, I guess I don't think there's really like a, there might be something out there. Somebody put together a website that tracks vortexes or whatever. I just know about Sedona just because it's been
Right, that's very famous. I've been wanting to go there for many, many years since I was like 16.
Everybody I know that's been there, you know, when I'm up there and I run into tourists and stuff, and it's like, you know, no, we just, wife and I came here for the first time. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful and da 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 and stuff. And yeah, it's a wonderful place to be, just energy wise. And you're either going to be sensitive to that energy up there or not very sensitive and stuff. But for me, it has a whole nother effect, you know, when I'm up there and stuff. But yeah, I love it. I would
Yes.
definitely say it's a trip that you must make. You know, at some point, because I think you'll get a lot of benefit out of it.
Yes, I don't see myself all completely be, my whole path isn't a spiritual path either, though. I also see myself doing things with real estate and having money, which as a life path eight, you gain prosperity and then you kind of like redistribute back wealth. Prosperity in any degree. So I see this being as a part of me that I use just to help educate.
Yeah, that makes totally sense. Yeah, sense. Because it's, yeah, you're kind of diversifying there, you know.
Yes. So I don't know if I could see myself moving to some place that's just completely dedicated to that type of lifestyle either. I'm a traveler.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people now, especially in this day and age and stuff, I think you're going to see a lot more people that are traveling. You know, just because I think they're going to have a different perspective on life and so forth. Especially with the corporate jobs and stuff that used to be what people flocked to. I've seen a lot of people leaving those style of jobs and just kind of doing something that's more, has more freedom in it, that benefits them better, you know, mentally
Yes.
and stuff. So.
Yes. That's probably the best thing that happened with COVID is the realization that people can work from home and can spend more times with their families, spend have more time to balance themselves out.
Oh, definitely. I'll agree with you on that. You know, and the one thing I will say I was kind of disappointed with when COVID hit and we had the lockdowns and stuff is I was hoping people would take that time to kind of explore who they were more, you know, kind of, you know, get into some form of meditation or whatever, you know, just because you have this time now. But it kind of went the opposite way where people just they got the rug pulled out from under them, and a lot of people just kind of started freaking out. They didn't have the gym, they didn't have this, they didn't have that anymore, you know, in the interim. So it was kind of like they didn't know how to focus or get beyond that. And it was just, yeah, the way I looked at it, and this is no offense to anybody, but it's just kind of an analogy, is it's like taking a toy away from a kid in a store. You know, he's just gonna cry and cry and cry until you give him it back, and then he's gonna be fine. You know, it's just like I don't know. That's the way I kind of saw it.
Honestly, not a lot changed for me during COVID because I was still working as a nurse. I have kids. I don't go out and party. I don't even eat out of restaurants a lot. Oh. It's just not something that I do with my kids. It's just overpriced and I don't eat meat and it's hard to find food, you know, like I don't go out to bars and party much. I mean, if I have parties, it's small groups of people. So it's like not a lot changed for me, honestly. Uh-huh. Like people didn't want to film for like a month, but that's about it. Then you could get tested for COVID and people started filming, but that really wasn't that. Not a lot changed. I heard a lot of people crying about it, but I'm like, nothing really changed. I actually feel better that I can get on shift and order all my food to my house. I didn't even know that existed before this. Why didn't I do this before?
So you mentioned that you don't eat meat. So are you vegan or vegetarian or kind of a...
I was vegan for a while, but I like chocolate.
Okay.
And cheese, some cheese. And so, yeah, so I couldn't.
So you kind of do like a hybrid type. Yeah, I mean.
Yes, I mainly, I just don't eat meat.
Okay. That's a big thing. It's just meat never agreed with you, or have you found yourself just feeling healthier?
I used to love meat. Uh-huh. Like loved red meat, juicy, bloody meat. And I went on like one of those high protein diets working out, and I started having a lot of gallbladder issues.
Okay.
And something inside of me, no doctor, I just stopped eating meat. And it went away. All my issues went away. I had a lot of mucus coming out for like a month, just pouring mucus out of my body. And then I started feeling better, lighter, not having constipation issues, not having stomach issues when I'm eating. So I felt more energetic. So yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I know I've seen where you go to the gym a lot, I think, and stuff. So you have that health and fitness side. Has that always been a strong, like going to the gym for fitness?
Yes. Actually, yeah. Because I had a dancer and a cheerleader growing up, I always try to put that into my daily life.
Okay.
And when I don't, I get frustrated. I get a little depressed. I don't understand where this, like, this internal anger and strife's coming from, but
so it's that nice healthy balance for you, basically.
Yes, I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy, so yes, I have to get it out.
Too much energy, would you say, or
sometimes yes.
So if somebody contacts you, and now would you work with them, you know, from a spiritual healing side at this point, if that's what they reached out to you for, or, you know, are you not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was something you weren't fully doing at this point quite yet.
Yes. Depending on the care plan we'd have to put together.
Okay.
Yes, it depends on what level and what kind of care plan they need, and if it's okay. Something
so that can you help with. Can you touch base on that a little bit? What do you mean by like care plan? And
care plan's a nursing term.
Okay.
When you assess someone, you decide what they're lacking and what are the interventions you're going to do in order to help them reach their goals. Just like life coaches do the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. But yes.
Okay.
But so, since my field's more in the erotic side, if it not being on the erotic side, it would depend on what they're looking for.
Gotcha. So, because you don't have another, you've got your main Instagram and social media, but you don't have you don't have one independent of your, like, you don't have the holistic healing Instagram side or whatever.
No, I'm going to just put it all together.
Oh, okay.
Send it together.
Okay.
I think I'll probably end up YouTubing that aspect of myself.
Just YouTubing as far as just setting up a YouTube page that's geared towards that with.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That I can't believe that's how I'd do it. Yes. Facebook is probably better for that too, because I don't do Facebook with what I do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Facebook is Facebook, but yeah. So, what advice right now would you give to somebody that's maybe looking to change their life for the better? They're struggling with certain things, whether it's addiction or, self-confidence issues or whatever. What would you give some, or tell somebody right now if they just reached out to you and said, "Hey, I've been dealing with this, for a long time." Like self-confidence. Let's just say.
I could ask a million questions if it was a, yeah, in a real life situation, I could ask a million questions. But if we're going for general, something
Yeah, just
broad
general.
and generalize it, I would say to be very conscious of your thought patterns at all times, your own internal voice, what you're telling yourself. Like you drop something, you call yourself a dumbass, or you say no big deal. Like when you're looking in the mirror, what are you telling yourself? When you're working out, when you wake up, what's the first thing you think? Be very, very mindful because a lot of people get so task oriented. I have to do this, this, and this. They don't realize that when it slows down, all the negative thoughts that they have been set into their mind. And that can be very hard on program and take a while to slow yourself down enough to know what it is, where it came from, and how to get rid of it.
Okay.
So it's a law of attraction. If I give out love, then I vibrate at that level where love's coming to me. If I keep saying I hate my life, I hate myself, I have no money, what am I going to get? And I keep getting that coming back to me because that's what I'm telling the universe is what I have.
And
And I'm
I totally love, sorry to cut you off. Yeah, no, I totally love that because I think a lot of people need to realize that aspect of it. What you put out into the universe is what you are going to get back eventually.
Yeah.
So the people that, like, you'll see it on social media, which is why I kind of tune that out, but they're complaining about, "Well, I never meet anybody nice. I'm treated like crap. I'm this and that. I always meet these bad people." Well, yeah, you have that mindset, that's what you're putting out there. So that's what
Yeah,
you're
that's what you're
attracting
gonna get.
in. Yeah.
Yes. But it's hard. I've been there. I have been there in that anger, like life's rough. I'm breaking bricks. I'm not getting anywhere. To catapult yourself just to that next level is hard to do it. And I would listen to over and over again YouTube videos when I'm sleeping, when I'm in my car, of like the law of attraction and positive thoughts and gosh, there's right now there's so many different people that are talking about it on YouTube.
Oh
So
yeah,
you can fill
it's
your mind, but you
yeah.
have to like keep constantly filling your mind with that to try to reprogram what you already put there.
Oh yeah, it's easy to get, trust me, I know. You want to get to that next, leap over to that next rock to get to that next phase, whatnot. And sometimes it does take a while. I mean, the universe does bring it back to you if you have those positive, productive thoughts that are sent out there, but it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It could be 5 years down the road till it
Yes, because
happens.
that's programming since you were a child. Like you didn't realize what maybe your parents, grandparents, people around you said that affected you, and now you have this negative subconscious written program that you don't even realize is there. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's and that's why children are so impressionable growing up with their parents. And I mean, how they're gonna, it's just, I think that's a very good age just to start really. I mean, because their minds are like a sponge, so program them the right way, or give them the best knowledge you can. And I think a lot of times that's not done, so you wind up with rebellious kids. You wind up with kids that are just gonna act out and.
Because they didn't get that love, yeah. No, what I did, I have three children, and what I did with all three of them was when they would go to sleep every night, I'd rub their head or back, and I would tell them all positive things. You're so strong, you're brave, you're loved, you're so smart. Like I go through the list every night with them. So as they're falling asleep, that's being programmed into them. Regardless of what everyone else is telling them on the outside world, at least that is being programmed in. And then
Yeah, because the outside world is just, it can be beautiful, but it can also be mean and nasty.
right.
And the one thing I found too is, like, when you're in a positive mindset, and I found this for myself, is that you are still going to get people that are of a negative mindset coming at you periodically because they just want to knock you off your pedestal, to make you kind of bring you down to their level, if not lower. You know,
Right.
why should you be happy? And oh, you have this perfect life, which perfect life doesn't exist, but they view it as that. When I'm over here, you know, no, I can't do it.
No, I agree. And I think that has been one of my harder struggles, is to maintain myself in a negative environment. So
yeah, you're
once
around.
You can do that, but you know to leave that too. But if theoretically, though, if you're vibrating at a certain level, you're not going to attract that environment. You know?
You're not going to.
It's a test, though, too. If you can still maintain that positive field within that environment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, you're going to attract.
That's very hard. I have not mastered that.
Well, I think it's, I mean, because if you vibrate at that higher level, you are still, I mean, you're not going to attract that, but people, you're just going to get those random one-offs that are just going to try to like kind of poke at you to see what they can get away with.
Right. Or even if you have a bad night, you didn't sleep well, so your energy's lower.
Yeah.
You know, and for women, when they're cycle, their energy's lower, you know, so you're going to, you're learning how to maintain that positive field, no matter the negativity is
and I think that's something that everybody can benefit to working towards, especially nowadays, you know, just where we're at as a society, because we're, and I've said this a lot before and stuff, but you know, I mean, people look at 2020 and say, well, I can't wait till this is over and get on to next year. Well, here's the whole thing, is that everything that we're being nailed with now is a reflection of us, and it's been stuff that we've been, that has been building and building over the years.
Yeah.
This year just happened to be, you know what, the COVID thing is just I don't want to make light of it, but it is a small piece of the puzzle. But it's something that triggered the rest of this stuff, I think. That's part of it. But we're going through a change right now as a society, as a collective. The problem is right now we have people that want to change and we have people that don't. They want to just drag everything back to where it was. So you're having that conflict, you know, especially with the election and everything else coming up, and it's just overwhelming for everybody.
Yeah, it is, and very much so.
But what people have to realize, you have to tear down something sometimes to the complete bottom in order to rebuild it up into something new and beneficial. So even though we go into 2021, you're going to have a little bit, okay, we already kind of dealt with COVID. It's still going to exist. It's still going to be here, but at least it's not hitting you for the first time. You're going to kind of know, or you should know, who's going to like be in office. So you can kind of let go of that a little bit, and everything, but there's a rebuilding process with this. And, you know, it's not, again, like with everything you put out into the universe, it's not going to happen overnight. But you want to be on that path. Hopefully you can start that path next year going in a new, more positive direction. But it's just going to take a while, and people need to realize that, but not stop working on yourself just because, oh, we're through 2020. We can go back to the way
I've
we were.
I've heard a lot of people use COVID as an excuse for everything. And I thought that 2020 has been good to me.
I think everybody's got a different perspective with it. And I think it depends on how you view it. I think COVID, I mean, it's, there's been other COVID stuff that existed before this, but it's just, this is kind of like what hit us, you know, hard. And plus the shutdowns, we've never dealt with that during our era.
I think
actually the 19, was it 1914? It's either 1914, 1918, the Spanish flu pandemic.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You know, that was the last time we dealt with anything of that magnitude before our time, obviously. So now it's kind of like in this modern age where people are used to just doing what they want to do, going out, doing this and that, and now being told, well, you got to throw this, or you can't go out, or we're going to put restrictions on you. People flip out because it's just, they can't, you know, deal. For myself, with how I am nowadays, it, like I said, like with you, it didn't affect me on a personal level as far as, okay, well, so I can't go out and have a beer at a bar if I wanted to, big deal, you know, can't go to the gym, not a big deal, because I do my workouts outside of so, I mean, it was just like, I didn't mind it, you know. The only thing that I would say would kind of, that maybe kind of bent me out of shape, I love hiking, I love the outdoors, so when they started closing trails down, I was like, you know, I mean, but that was the only thing that really kind of messed with me. Otherwise, it was, I was fine. But yeah, I mean, change is coming, and you know, I think just with what you're the direction that you're going in to help people and stuff, and you know, other people out there that are kind of like latching on to, you know, their calling and so forth to kind of help others get through this. I think it's a wonderful thing, and to bring people like that all together as a group to the forefront, you know, that's what it's all about, really. I mean, it's life is precious. It's a beautiful thing. So when you can have other people and interact with them that can help you get to that next level of your own life, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be a meditation guru in the end, or you know, stuff. But it's just viewing life differently. When you step out your door in the morning, you just want to get to that point where you see life, you see everything around you, and you start
Right.
looking at it differently.
Yes, you see the beauty of what's around you.
Yeah, it's not the car on the freeway that you're stuck in for 2 hours traveling to and
Right.
from your job. It's not sitting in your office and just, oh God, I hate my job, but you know, I can't leave it because of this and that.
I
Not telling
know.
anybody to leave their job. You have to make the best decisions you can for yourself. But the
I
thing,
agree.
yeah,
I agree.
but life is a very precious thing. You just have to look at it differently. Like when I'm out walking my dog, Tove. You know, a lot of times I'll just look up at the sky or the mountains in the background, and I just watch them around a while because it's fascinating to me. Because now my mind's like, God, the creation of those, what's behind them, and this and that, the sky, the atmosphere. Then it goes beyond that, you know, and you can look out into space and all
Right, and your
the.
energy elevates as you look at the beauty, and you find the
Yeah.
beauty in the things, and you feel elevated
Yeah.
energy.
Yeah. It definitely does do wonders for your day. So, so if anybody wants to follow you or reach out to you, what's your best social media handle, I guess?
You can find me on IG at Jaden, JADAN. Underscore snow. I also have Twitter, JADAN snow.
Okay.
And on my Twitter account, you can find my website with all my
Okay.
other links. That's the
Okay.
best place to find all my links to
Okay.
contact me through email and such.
Awesome. Oh, and also your name, Jaden Snow. We touched base. So
Oh,
how did that come up?
relevant. Okay, the snow. There is a movie book called What the bleep do we know down or down the rabbit hole? What the bleep do we know? And it was about we the entire premise. There was two series about how we create our own reality. And what they one of the studies they did to prove it, they've done this with plants. You've heard it, giving plants energy, they grow. They did this with snowflakes. They captured snowflakes on those glass slides that you see that you would see in a laboratory. In a biological laboratory, they captured them, and they actually showed it three different freezers. One was the control, which is they got no energy. Nobody talked to them, they just were ignored and just let it be. Then they have one refrigerator where every day, several times, people come up to and tell them how beautiful they are, how lovely they are, give them positive vibes, sing, blah, blah. Then they had the other one where people gave them negative. Told them how they're a piece of shit, you're a piece of crap, da, 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 you know, every negative thing. And if anyone gets a chance to look at this, it's amazing. The snowflakes that given the most energy form these beautiful, complex geometric patterns. The ones that were giving no energy were just very simple, like a cross, you know, like what a kid draws as a snowflake. And then the ones that are giving the bad energy actually started to grow black on them and like were more jagged and pointy looking. And then, so that's part of it. That was the spiritual part. And also, I'm very, very white too. I put a lot of spray tanning on. That was another aspect of it.
Oh, I like that. So it's quite
So I
interesting
have
when
a
you.
spiritual and a physical aspect of it, yes.
Yeah, no, I always find it fascinating when people come up with names and so forth, you know, what's behind it. You know, kind of like we were talking before this a little bit with the Fury and Ice, you know, and then, you know, my business name, Attilius, and so forth and stuff. There's, you know, a backstory to all that. But yeah, so no, really awesome. I want to thank you so much for your time
Well,
today.
thank you. I appreciate being here.
Okay. Yeah. No, definitely a fun conversation and stuff. So again, I highly recommend you guys, follow her. I mean, she is really genuinely a nice person, and stuff. And, so don't judge a book by its cover. Never judge a book by its cover, but she is really a nice person and stuff. And so yeah, definitely follow
But
her.
I
And
also have some fire.
there, well, yeah, I saw some, like, I
There's
could
some
see
real
that a
fire
little.
users.
I could,
But lightly.
yes, I could see that a little bit. So, if you do follow her, people out there, be respectful.
There we go. Yes. Thank
Be
you. They'll
respectful.
be like,
That,
oh, she's so nice. Oh, I can manipulate her
yeah, no,
now.
be respectful.
No.
We don't want to see that fire raise and stuff. So, but anyways, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.